Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will also do. For the Father loves the Son, shows him everything that he himself does, and will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen, I say to you, the hour is coming, is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in itself. And he gave him power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Starting on Monday this week, we began 2.5 weeks of concentration on the Gospel of St. John. It'll take us all the way through Tuesday of Holy Week. In the last day of Lent, Wednesday of Holy Week, we get St. Matthew, because we get the other angle on the story of the betrayal of Judas. First 2 days this week, we had, in general, the straightforward actions of the Lord Jesus, which we could ponder. Today we begin Jesus' discourses. His discourses are hard. They sometimes seem like these wacko professors that I had in college who you couldn't really follow exactly what they were saying, even though you understood every word. Take some time to hear even more slowly and to unpack. But before we dive in, I just want to give the two coordinates for us to be able to understand better what's happening within what the church wants to happen. First is where we begin all of Lent. The purpose of Lent is not only to help us to rediscover the Father's love, but to become like the Father. To become as merciful as the Father is merciful. To pray to him in secret for no other purpose. To start to share his own hunger through our fasting. To see ourselves as the extension of his providence by giving to others what we have freely received from him. It's the first coordinate. Today Jesus is going to talk an awful lot about how he images the Father so that we can learn from him and through him and in him how to do the same. And the second coordinate is that we're in this phase in which we're pondering the meaning of baptism. So Jesus is going to give this commentary precisely on what he was doing yesterday, for example, in showing the power of baptism In baptism, we become God the Father's beloved son or daughter in whom he is well pleased. So all of this work is meant to explicitate his action in baptism. Let's see how. So the immediate criticism was that Jesus was doing a good deed on the Sabbath day when he should have been resting. And so Jesus answered the Jews with that criticism. My Father is at work until now, so I am at work. What Jesus was describing is God the Father, in his paternal love, doesn't take Sundays off from loving us. He is a full-time lover. In the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, you have that beautiful image at the end talking about God's holy rahamim, the tenderness of his maternal love. When people thought that the Lord had forsaken them in the exile in Babylon, God through Isaiah said, can a mother forget her infant, be without tenderness for the child of her womb? Even should she forget, I will never forget you. God can't forget. If a child is in need on the Sabbath, the child is going to receive what is needed on the Sabbath, because a mother doesn't take the Sabbath off from breastfeeding her nursing baby. We see the type of work that Jesus is doing. It's not solo. He's working together with his Father. He swears an oath, amen, amen, I say to you. The Son can't do anything on his own. He does only what he sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son will also do. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he's doing. And he will show him greater works than these. We're really particularly talking about the resurrection that's going to take place, so that you may be amazed. God the Father is continuing to do his work through his Son. And that Son's work could be understood in a couple angles. The work of forming us to be sons in the Son, to live according to a divine filiation. But also the continued work of what happens in baptism. And that leads us to the second point, that Jesus images the Father's life and the way the Father wants to bring others to life. And that's what Jesus was doing in curing this cripple for 38 years, giving a sign of the way he wishes to say to all of us, not just in this world, but forever, rise and walk, rise, come with me, make this pilgrimage to the eternal Jerusalem. So Jesus talks about this life-giving work. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. It goes on to say, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me to speak this word has eternal life already. He's already sharing in it. He has passed from death to life. Just as the Father has life in himself, so he also gave the Son the possession of life in himself. This is the icon of God the Father's paternity. St. Melito of Sardis, as I've mentioned to you at least once before, he talked in the early church about how Jesus is a father. You have that prophecy in Isaiah that when the Wonder Counselor finally came, he would be called Father forever. We, in our Trinitarian theology, for the most part, look at Jesus as the Son incarnate. And he is. But he's incarnate as the image of the Father. And St. Melito said that the Father is a life giver. And God the Father allowed Jesus to share in his paternity by giving us life through the sacraments, beginning with baptism. He has life in himself and he can give it to whomever he pleases. And he does, and he pleases to give that life to us. He came so that we might have life and have it to the full, have it in its fullness, in its overabundance. That work Jesus wants to do. so that we can become fully alive in the Father, and similarly so that we can cooperate in that life-giving work. My spiritual paternity, your spiritual maternity, is to cooperate in that life-giving work. And that's something we never rest from. Third thing Jesus describes today is about judgment. This is part of the work he's sharing in, and it's also the means by which he gives life. So often when we hear the term judgment, it's been passed on to us literally to try to scare the hell out of us in a lot of our circumstances. When we look at judgment, we see the face of Jesus with the burning eyeballs from the upper part of the National Shrine. Right? We see Michelangelo with Jesus' hand ready in that last judgment, looking down at his left side, ready to toss us there. We think about it as the time where, unless we're really living in the way in which we would never have to go to confession, we worry about failing that test, that final exam of life, when all will be known. That's the way we approach it. It's not the way Jesus is approaching it here. He looks at judgment as that time in which he's going to be able to say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For as hungry, thirsty, naked, a stranger, ill, or in prison, and you cared for me." He looks at it at the time where he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Share your master's joy." It's a time in which his whole work of bringing us to life will come to fulfillment. As through judgment we will be able to come to share in the eternal life of which we participate now only embryonically. So Jesus says, the Father doesn't judge anyone. He's given all judgment to the Son so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And he continues later, he gave him the power to exercise judgment, because he's the Son of Man. The hour is coming and all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life. I can't do anything on my own. I judge as I hear. My judgment is just because I don't seek my own will but the will of the one who sent me. And what is that will? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. That's essentially the work that Jesus is doing. As we continue to progress in this Lenten pilgrimage, we remember that that work of the Lord that gives us life through judgment is primarily a work of mercy. The Lord, as we prayed today in the psalm, is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and is compassionate in all his works. All his works are an expression of his holy rahamim, this tenderness we heard about, this maternal love, but it's also of his hesed, his masculine love, which is faithful until the end. It's going to be some work, sisters, to be able to enter into the mind and heart of Jesus as he preaches this over the course of time. So I'd encourage you to try to be alert to this work that he's trying to continue. The Lord speaks, and he says, the hour is now here when we will hear his voice and we will come out, those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life. The most important way he carries this out is every day at Mass, in which he does his eternal work of salvation so that we might receive his life within, and clinging on to him with love and gratitude, already with him, live the Passover and pass from death to life, to that embrace that will never be released. Praise be Jesus Christ.